Welcome to Critical Hit, a major spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. And I thought we were done with all the chaos on the ship, Kevin, but it appears not to be.
You thought you were done with chaos on the ship? I think you might be playing the wrong game.
Oh, all right.
No, but you're part right. So last time.
On Critical Hit.
Nice. You guys delivered there. I like it.
On Critical Hit.
You think, to the best of your knowledge, that you have exited the holographic amusement chamber, the hack, and defeated Glitch, the Glitch Gremlin, that was infesting its systems and keeping you trapped in a set of, different holovid universes that it was generating. You're all quite tired, and you're not sure how long you've been awake. You've got that bleary-eyed or various other ocular organs for Amu and such state that of having stared at a screen for too long, because all six walls were screens, and you are celebrating your victory as the hack doors open and you find that the squeaky clean is still infested with gremlins.
Burn them. Nuke them from orbit. It's the only way.
That was the first one.
Oh. See, I'm just bringing it back around.
He's still kind of stuck there mentally.
You open the doors and... sure enough, you see a bunch of gremlins just down the hallway. There are four gremlins down this particular hallway alone, each of which is metal gray in color with orange accent stripes. They've got six eyes, and each one is holding a spiky hammer about the same size as their body. They kind of look like overgrown insects. They'd be a lot more intimidating if they were more than half a meter tall. So some are tearing at the hallway panel sidings. Some are climbing on the wall in order to do so, while another just smashes away at the exposed circuits and pipes with its hammer. When they notice you, one of them turns and waves towards its companions, getting all of their attention, and says, "All right, everyone. The mortals are out. That means Glitch lost. We've trained for this. You all know what to do. Panic! Run for your lives! Everyone for themselves!" And then that one shoves one of his companions off the wall towards you as if to slow you down. And that one and the remainder all go scurrying in different directions down the halls.
Wow, let's stomp on them.
Can any of them be shocked?
I am also in Roll 20 showing you guys what they look like. Whoa. Describe them, but you can also see them.
As you said, they would look pretty intimidating.
If they were more than
a foot
and a half tall.
Is there any rooms that have like ancillary life support?
I mean, even at a foot and a half tall, that's still a
yeah, a foot unsettling. Tall is actually a pretty scary height for a critter.
Yeah, yeah, that thing could swing its hammer, get to some pretty uncomfortable places like your knee.
Yeah,
foot for sure. Bring that spike down on your foot. So someone was asking about ancillary life support. I'm always eager to hear about that.
Is there any rooms that have like their own separate life support? So I say, let's just all go to that and then just throw them all out into space.
So
that might
you
also
need
get
to get. Yeah. True.
And Squeebo.
That would
bring him. I think Squeebo would be fine.
Well, so the systems on the ship appear to still be quite glitchy, the lights are flickering, and you mentioned something about life support. The air here is stale, as if it's not circulating correctly. And if the air isn't circulating correctly, that means that it might not be the oxygen might not be pumping through the ship as it should.
Grace was acting weird when I asked for a report at the end of the last episode.
Well, Bob, how about you try to get Grace back online, and
okay.
I'll start trying to squish these bugs.
Okay.
Skredic, want to come with me a bug squishing?
Sure, wherever.
I will, let's see, so if we exit, is it clear to exit, or are we going to be immediately attacked by these things?
Well, the four that were in the hallway, one of them got pushed towards you, and then the other three ran. So okay. That one has now picked itself back up, picked up a hammer, and looks as if to fight you, but then turns to run as well.
Okay. I will just make my way to a central console.
Central console? You mean like cockpit. A wall console?
A wall console, something that I can access.
So there's a good wall console right down this hallway. Unfortunately, it has been torn to pieces by the aforementioned gremlins.
These gremlins. As I stomp up towards the bridge.
All right. So Bob is going towards the bridge. What are other people doing? We'll start with, so Vangie and Skridic, you said you were going to go stomping gremlins. Where are you going?
I'm going to start trying by chasing down the one that I saw, because I'm pretty quite fast. The one that got pushed towards us.
Sure. So it ran off towards the cargo bay.
Then I will start chasing it.
All right. So you and Skridic are heading towards the cargo bay. What is everyone else doing?
If I saw any others skittering in the other directions, I'll follow them, or I'll chase after them. Otherwise, I'll follow Vangie.
Oh, okay. Well, so to be clear, you get the impression that there's more than just four of these gremlins, and they all ran in a bunch of different directions. So you can basically go wherever you want to go, and you're going to find gremlins. So with that understanding, now, where do you go?
I mean, if there's any of them that I specifically saw them go any particular way, I'll follow that way, a different direction. But otherwise, I'll try to make my way to the life support modules and maybe try to do some good there after I'm done squishing.
Well, one of them went towards the crew quarters.
Okay, there you go. I'll follow that.
Cool. How about Hecubino?
I'll go with Bob.
Bob to the bridge. Cool. Amu?
We're going to go check on the other life forms on the ship and make sure that they're okay. So Spebo, Herman, I don't think we picked up any more pets yet.
Where are you going to go check on them?
Does Spebo have a place that he stays?
Spebo seems to roam around. In fact, you're not sure you've ever seen Spebo sleep.
What about Herman stays in Amu's room, right?
Correct.
We'll check there first and see where we can get to check on Squeebo.
Okay, so you're also heading towards crew quarters, your quarters specifically.
Yes.
Quentin.
I think Quentin's going to head for the bridge too. And if I see any, I'm just going to shoot them.
Shoot them with what?
A gun.
Like a laser pistol?
Either that or the giant trap gun.
You have long arm proficiency now, don't you? So you've got okay.
I got a plasma rifle.
There you go.
Pew pew. I'm gonna pew pew them.
Yeah, shoot the plasma rifle on the bridge. I'm a fan. Let's do it.
The ship hull piercing bullets he bought just for this occasion.
Well, like I need air.
So you guys break up and all go in, well, not all different directions, but at least three different directions. So we will start with Skridic and Amu going to the crew quarters. You see, as you go through the hallway, first of all, again, the lights are flickering. There's panels open. There's lots of exposed wires and, circuits that have been not properly grounded and all that sort of stuff. You are able to get to your quarters, and keep in mind, the way the quarters are set up, you kind of either go up or down. They're not bunk beds, but they're kind of bunk quarters. I don't remember where each person bunks, but you can make it to the same general area, both Skridic and Amu, together, unless, Skridic wants to race ahead.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Amu, I know you're going to check on your quarters. Skridic, where are you going?
I'm just trying to see if I can spot one of these guys and try to squish him. If not, I might just go to my quarters just to make sure there's nothing
cool.
too messed up there.
As you see your quarters, you can see that a bunch of the rooms, everybody's room has been opened. All of their doors are open, and stuff has been thrown out of the room into the hallway.
From that's not the best of plans for whatever did this.
Hecubino's room randomly is not touched.
For some reason. Yep.
Well, you can go take a look at his door if you want. There's something posted there, it seems.
What's on the door?
Yeah, on the door, there's a data pad that's been bolted on that it says, "Do not touch. Dibs called by glitch." But you could otherwise enter Hecubino's room if you want. Anyway, there's sounds coming from the other rooms. So, Amu, you head into yours?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. When you do, you find Herman. Herman is still, wearing one of his crates as kind of a protective shell. And he has been backed into the corner of your room with three of these Vexjit. That's what the name of this type of gremlin is. You, by the way, know all about them just from your biohacker lab ability. There are three Vexjit gremlins that are all using jury-rigged taser sticks to hem Herman in the corner of your room. There are two additional Vexjit bodies that are quickly decomposing into chitin on the ground near Herman, and there's signs of several more just in the hallway outside your room.
I'm going to yell, "Hey, leave our boy alone," and go to snag one of them with the capture net.
Never catch me! Ah! And then you immediately catch him.
Put in a jar.
Yeah. Do we? There should be samples. Torture me? I'll never give up.
Well, actually, wait a minute. Torture sounds horrible. I'll tell you anything you want to know, but I don't know anything.
We will not harm you. Just get in this box.
Attack! And the two other Vexjit come and try to attack you, and both miss with their hammers.
Skritik.
Yeah,
we need assistance. There's three of them here.
You can easily keep the one grappled with your little catcher's pole. The other two are annoying. They keep they're if you had ankles like your little coral parts that start holding you up, they'd be going for those.
So what you're saying is Amu is uniquely advantaged against these things.
No, because one of them has a bowl of lemon butter.
So, Skritik, you come racing in.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you do? You see the scene that Amu is under attack, although from very, very tiny foes.
Trying to fend off like the extra one with the hand.
Immediately lunge on one, just stabbing wildly.
Oh, no! Oh, it hurts so... Oh, I'm dying.
Hey, out of my stuff!
And you can kill basically these things are not a threat to you. They are more of an annoyance than anything else. One of them tries to reach out and its little insecty leg reaches out and tries to grab your knife from you, and as it does, its arm, leg, whatever thing is covered in coruscating like black entropic energy for a moment, but then it misses, so it doesn't seem to do anything. When it randomly lands hits its that same arm against the bedpost that your beds are all kind of built in Amu's room, and it disintegrates a small portion of it, like rusts it, and it breaks down very quickly. So that seems to be what it was trying to do, and then you can immediately stab it.
I think I'll do that.
All right. Yeah. So you stab it. It dies. It says, "The prophecy came true. I was stabbed by Yosoki on a starship. It was oddly specific." And you can go to your quarters as well And you find in your quarters shortly thereafter, Skritik, a maze of deadly traps that has been laid out with wires crisscrossing the room and a giant, like giant mousetrap devices with poorly hidden triggering mechanisms that are set beneath a large piece of molding cheese that the Vexjits evidently found from somewhere.
Mm, they got in my stash. well, not a bad idea here. I'll come back to this later.
Amu, you know, by the way, because you know about Vexjits, that they are good at sabotaging things, like particularly good in a group. They have an ability called a wrecking crew that lets them break things very, very effectively. So the more complex, the better. And they're also good at laying little traps themselves.
Mm.
But they are a low level threat, like well below what you think you guys, when you first met up, would easily have been able to take them.
Well, we will contain the one that we've got captured.
Okay, sure. You can put it in like a little specimen containment tube.
Yeah. Something like that.
I will not be contained! It shouts from within the tube.
But you already are.
But, I mean, well, okay, this time, but not again.
Okay.
This is the only time I will ever be contained, never again.
We're going to put the tube into our bio lab just to make sure he doesn't escape.
No, I'm contained again!
And go check the other rooms for other issues.
Yeah, so you guys can go and start checking on the other crew quarters, but we will go and pan to the bridge. So the bridge team is Bob, Hecubino, and Quentin?
Yes.
I believe so.
The okay, terrible right. trio.
That's what we're calling it now. Sure. So on the bridge, you three see three Vexjit gremlins manning the various stations of the bridge. Each of the gremlins is hitting an unnecessary number of buttons and dials, just like constantly. And then there is another creature, which I will eventually let you guys know is a, well, I'll tell you now because Amu can quickly identify it later, a Gizmer gremlin. The Gizmer is kind of gray skin, three eyes that are all glowing blue with a blue glowing mouth. And that mouth is, it's sitting next to the power core, first of all, and it is seemingly drinking from an exposed power cable. Finally, there's another Vexjit that's messing with wires and cables under the control panels. And I also just showed you guys a picture of the Gizmer gremlin that's sucking on the power.
And they're all the same size, or is this one bigger? Or
This one's solidly, you know, 25% bigger than the other. So, you know, 2 feet tall.
Okay.
On the screen, like the view screen, you see the remains of an automated rescue pod emblazoned with the intergalactic symbols for mercy and peace that has evidently been blown apart by the Squeaky Clean's weapons. The ship is moving into the debris field, albeit very slowly. The one that appears to be navigating says, "We're entering the debris field, Captain. Also, when do I get to be Captain?" "Darn the debris field! Full speed ahead! And wait your turn!" Then the engineer shouts out, "I'm giving you all she's got, Captain!" "Well, no, not really. Gizmer there is sucking down power like an Eoxian energy vampire. Plus, I've overloaded the Weston weapon systems and directing power to the great working in the cargo hold. But I'm giving you some of what she's got, Captain." And then the Gizmer chimes in, "Hey, did you guys want to hit on this, or is it just me? Because I think I'm starting to feel it."
I'm going to grab that Gizmer around the neck and just fling it back towards the opening where Hecubino and Quentin are.
"Whoa, chill out." It smacks against the wall.
And then I'm going to go up to the two gremlins that are up by the main controls and grab them, grab their heads and bash them together. Coconut sound ensues.
Coconut, boink. Yep.
Get off my ship.
Well, it's kind of hard. We're in space, so...
I don't care. Get off my ship.
Attack! And they all go rushing out in some combination of either attacking or running away. Except for Gizmer. He seems to be trying to creep back towards the power core. What do Hecubino and Quentin do?
Quentin confronts Gizmer with a rotating knife just right in front of his face.
Whoa,
as an attempt to frighten him.
Not cool. Not cool, man.
I believe you've been asked to get off Bob's ship.
But, you know, like, there's a lot of radiation there. And, like, you're all being exposed to it. So, when you think about it, kind of doing you a favor.
Do I seem like the kind of sentient being that is in any way bothered by radiation?
Well, like, lots of androids are, man. Like... it's pretty bad for you, bro.
Going to move the knife slightly closer.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, Hecubino, what are you doing?
I'm guessing some of these guys are going to try to run past me.
Yeah, their attacks quickly turn into run away. Basically, if you get in their way, then they attack. If you let them pay, then they run away.
Yeah, I will... look at, you know, one of the panels that they've gotten off just somewhere off the ship. And as they run towards me, I'll just telekinetically lift it and, like, basically put it in the path of at least one of them so that they hit themselves on the head on the way out.
Nice.
But won't bother them if they're leaving the cargo hold.
Sure. So you can,
the bridge.
Yeah, so you can pick one off as it goes. Bob, what are you doing?
Now that I have cleared those gremlins away from the control panel, I'm going to use my data jack and jack into Grace's computer to see if I can start any repairs and get her back up and running.
Great. So Grace can seemingly only communicate by text at the control panels. All her sound functions are off, which is really annoying. And as you start doing some diagnostics, I will tell you more of what is wrong with the ship. But are you going to slice this Gizmer to ribbons, Quentin?
I'm trying to decide if that would be impulsive. Yes.
It's loaded with energy.
I didn't want to shoot it because it seemed to be eating energy. I'm afraid that if I kill it, it's going to like explode or something. But what happens if I just like cleanly sever its head?
Slice it, man. Slice it.
I mean, that sounds like a question that there's only one way to find out the answer to.
Slice and dice.
I'm gonna go for cleanly severing its head.
That is your goal. Well, in that case, I'm gonna go ahead and acquire an attack roll.
An attack roll?
Yeah, man.
Hang on. What's my attack bonus?
It slowly tries to defend itself. It's got a small head, though, so...
Mm.
Well, actually, its head is disproportionate for its size, but it's still relatively small.
So this is a melee attack. It's not my best, but...
No.
How about you feel? How do you feel about a 12 to chop its head off?
I feel like it's like it scratches it under the chin. It's like, oh, dude, I didn't know that thing didn't hurt. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it rolls on its back and starts, like, rolling around under the blade and starts to, like, groom itself against it. It's like, oh, yeah, man, right there.
You're the worst. you're the worst.
You do seem to have it incapacitated, though. I'll say that is no longer sucking on power and it doesn't seem to be hurting anything.
All right. I'm going to tie its hands and feet together while it's rubbing.
With what? How?
I'm sure that somewhere here when they were ripping open the panels.
Oh, you're taking
they clearly ripped
tables.
Things open where I'm just like, I'm going to grab some like, zip ties or something that was holding bits and pieces of the panel together that they've thrown around. I'm just going to tie it in a knot.
All right. It seems like a cat with catnip so long as you keep scratching it under its chin.
Good. I tie its cat feet.
Yep.
Wait, no, that just sounds cruel. It's not a cat. It's an evil creature. No, no, you can't do that to a cat.
No, yeah, it has sharp like claws that it occasionally scratches you with, but it doesn't pierce your little hull exoskeleton.
I'm going to clip its claws.
All right. Bob, you can start studying what's wrong with the squeaky clean. In short, a lot. As you start going through the systems, you find these things have been deliberately wrecking the ship. I will give you a quick list, and then you can dive in on things you want to know. So I already told you Grace can communicate only by text at control panels. So that means she also can't hear you.
Okay.
All audio is off.
Okay.
The ship's power core is offline. The drift drive is inoperative. The weapon systems are out of ammunition. You're running low on thruster power. There's extensive internal damage to all systems except those that maintain the hack, including navigation, shields, long-range comms, infosphere connections, and life support. So overall, you probably have a few hours of emergency power before the ship is completely adrift. And, you know, you only have about a day or so until that power cuts out entirely and you lose life support.
Okay. Well, as I communicate to Grace, I will type in, do you have power core schematics and a list of the damaged parts that we might be able to repair now?
Sure. So you can start working with Grace on that. She types back, although you're going to have to kind of do a fresh inventory because there's parts that you had, but parts that you have right now might be different.
Okay. All right. Because it looks like first thing that we'll do is address the power core, then life support, and then we will work on thrusters and drift drive and then work on everything else after that.
Cool. All right. So now let's go to the cargo. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'll lean over to Bob and be like, what is it?
Oh, it's bad. They've pretty much decimated this ship. We're in a floating husk if I don't get, or we don't get this systems back up and running within the next day, the next 20 hours or less, maybe.
Okay.
Power core is totally offline, so we have to bring that online first. And then the life support system is completely screwed.
Does Quentin's rotary knife, like, does it detach or is it like integrated?
In as much as anything is integrated, I think we've established that he can detach stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll walk over and just in like full on cartoon boss style, like take the knife away from Quentin and be like, help Bob. And then I will continue to groom the gremlin as I drag it over to quarters to take it to Amu.
Hey,
whoa, where we go? Oh, yeah, right there, man.
Hey,
right
Hecubino.
Yeah.
That thing was devouring a lot of power. Can you ask Amu if there's a way to extract that power and get it back into the ship systems, or if it's just already part of its food supply chain and once it's gone, it's gone?
That's a good idea. I'll ask him.
Hey, speaking of power, could I get like another hit before we go? Just one for the road?
I'll get in behind his ears.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. And then you can drag him away.
Yeah.
Cool. So in the cargo bay, you went following the last one to skitter away in the hallway, Vangi. So you started chasing them into the largest room on the ship, the cargo bay. Is that right?
Yeah. Apparently where the great working is, so I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. So you you enter the cargo bay, and dominating your view of it, of the cargo bay, is a vast heap of parts, wires, pieces of hallway siding, steel pipes, and lots of odds and ends from around the ship. It's about 10 meters in diameter, which is most of the cargo bay, and goes from floor to ceiling. And that's also the tallest part of the ship. So there are a dozen or so Vexjet gremlins crawling all over the monstrous mechanical amalgamation of metal. They all appear to be taking parts from other systems and pieces of the ship and fastening them into place. One Vexjet is wearing some of Bob's overalls, though they have been radically shortened to fit its tiny body, like it cut overalls out of his overalls and then made new little tiny overalls. That one seems to be in charge, as it is barking orders and directions for where the pieces should be placed. One of the worker Vexjet gremlins approaches it. Another three gremlins smashed to pieces in the upper starboard quadrant, sir. Yes, yes. The design is almost complete. Great working. We must finish it, no matter the cost. But what is it, sir? What do you see, O wise engineer? Why is this the one structure we are allowed to build and not destroy? What is it? Can't you see? No, no, it's not your fault. Imagine a great tower, and within that tower, endless bars, poles, and geometric shapes constructed of bars and poles, where we, gremlins, might move about freely, climbing, climbing, always climbing to our heart's content. Wait, so this is all for, like, a climbing set? Like a jungle gym? If the jungle is the vast emptiness of space that consumes all things, then yes, this is the gym of that great and terrible void jungle. Now back to work! They do not seem to notice you.
I'm gonna just, like, kind of walk up a little bit and be like, yep, fun's over, guys.
We're under attack! Assume defensive positions! And they all go racing into the massive, great working jungle gym.
I'm just gonna, like, try to... I'm just gonna pull out my flamethrower and put it on, like, a low setting and just try to smoke them out.
Oh, no! We're under assault! Siege defenses! And they start launching junk at you.
Hey!
Like, a bunch of Bob's clothes get thrown at you. Piece of... Hey, you're pretty sure that's supposed to be in the bridge. That's a chair. Those are all the cooking instruments you guys use in the galley.
Alright, idiots! If I let you live, will you put everything back and you can go build your stupid jungle gym somewhere else?
No, this is the great working! This is our purpose. Actually, that seems like a pretty good deal, O wise engineer. No, we will never accept. You can
hey, other
burn
guys,
us all
if
to
I kill
crisp.
Your leader, will you accept the deal?
They seem to be debating it, but they're also not like as you can overhear them talking about it, it's like, well, we did agree to make the great working, and it does have great in it. But it's also building something, and I prefer to destroy things. So they are having a lengthy debate about it while you're roasting their whole, you know, area with your flamethrower. No, I'm dead.
Ah! I'm gonna slow cook some gremlins while, you know, kicking over their jungle gym.
Well, if there are 10 of us, then there has to be a tie-breaking vote to determine. And I motion that it be the wise engineer. Yes, I second that motion. Oh, nope, now there's only 9 of us. No tiebreaker required. Fine. Now, what are the rules of engagement on the... Oh, nope, there's 8 of us. So now we do need a tiebreaker again.
Figure it out, guys.
All right, they move eventually once enough of them die. They're like, oh, wait, we gotta go. And they do some combination of attack / flee.
Oh, man. I will, anyone that attacks me, I will just quickly put down.
The ones that attack seem to be trying to destroy your weapon.
Ooh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
I will try to engage them from a distance then to try to keep them away from it.
Well, one of them jumps down from atop the Great Jungle Gem. What is your kinetic armor class?
It is 25.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so it rolled pretty well, but still misses. As, again, this is the first time you've seen it, but I've described it before, that, you know, like black orbs and swirling entropic nothingness goes smashing into the floor and causes some of the floor panels to crumple up and rust suddenly.
I will, like, kick it.
Ah! Can't blame me for trying!
Can definitely blame you!
Hey, is peace still on the table? I changed my vote! So you continue dealing with Vexchitz in the cargo hold. Let's go back to Amu and Skritik. And Hecubino will be joining you guys in a moment as he goes to seek you out. So Amu and Skritik, what are you guys doing? You're in the crew quarters area.
Probably dismantling traps.
probably stabbing more gremlins.
Do you guys go and check other people's rooms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's do Quentin's room. So you get to Quentin's room, Skritik and Amu, and his quarters are filled with the dead bodies of over a dozen Vexchit, all in some state of dissolution, in part because that seems to be how they decompose. But you can also smell a fair bit of acid, like the chemical burn that is coming off of their chitinous exoskeletons. And as you investigate, his room has been torn apart a bit, but not as badly as Skritik's or Amu's. As you wait in there, sure enough, Squeebo comes in and drops off a freshly killed, decomposing Vexchit gremlin and seems to look up at you with his big, bulbous, weird eyes and goes, "Squeebo, clean?
Please."
Yeah. It opens its mouth in a way that you think might be it smiling, and then it goes off to go kill more gremlins. It will continue to kill gremlins and bring their bodies back here. It smells horrible.
Squeebo's unhappy with Quentin.
That's one way of interpreting it.
Why? Maybe it's trying to make peace.
It's like a cat.
Hecubino shows up.
Bringing you a dead animal to show you its devotion.
Hey, Amu.
Yeah?
You got a place to stash this thing?
We should. Come to our room.
I'll follow him in.
Hey, so you said something about stash. Is it like a power core? Because I drained the last one pretty good.
We'll toss some sort of powered gear into the box.
Oh, yeah. Batteries? Yeah, I used to do these by the dozen with my friends. They don't last very long, like 30 seconds. But, you know, still.
Push them into the box and close it.
Sensory deprivation and batteries? Whoa. Oh no, you're just taking me prisoner. Oh, that sucks.
There's a bunch of stuff wrong with the ship, so I need you guys to help Bob once you're done here. I'm gonna go find Bangy.
Okay.
Cool. So as you guys proceed, you do hear, since you've been traveling through the ship, a few of you, there are a couple of other rooms you guys have not checked besides, I think you've checked everybody's quarters except Vangie's and Bob's. Two other rooms of note that no one has gone to include the medical bay and the weapons room. Mm-hmm. Just as an FYI.
Oh, we'll check the medical bay.
Hecubino, you're going to the cargo hold?
Yep.
Skritik?
I figure I'll head to the helm and see where to need me to help.
All right. So we'll go back to the bridge. So we've got Quentin and Bob, and then Skritik will be arriving shortly. So, Bob, what are you doing?
I'm still trying to work on getting the schematics for the power core so I can go work on that. And then I'm going to ask Quentin to see what he can do to bring the life support back online, or at least get it functioning with the repair parts until the power core comes back up.
Cool. So give me a computer's check.
A computer's check coming up. Computers.
So right now you're just doing basically diagnostics.
Looks like a 30.
You did.
Excellent. Well, so there's good news and bad news.
Uh-oh.
The good news is you can, like, from a programming standpoint, you can cleanse the system of most, if not all, of its glitches and little bugs that have been introduced. You're pretty sure Glitch was actually rewriting some code to make it worse, which is very annoying.
Hmm.
With some help, you should be able to, get some of the other systems back online. The bad news is the main power core is inoperative and, like, damaged beyond your ability to repair. You would need, well, actually, not beyond your ability to repair, beyond your ability to repair while adrift. You need parts you don't have. You need, including, like, kind of rare, expensive parts. Not, you know, tens of thousands of credits, but not on board the ship. So you're not going to get main power back.
How
you're only
far...
ever going to get emergency power back.
Okay, so only emergency power back. How far can we get on our low thruster power? Is there any place nearby that might have the parts and pieces that we would need to repair the ship?
So you're going to need to fix navigation.
Okay.
Pretty quickly in order to figure that out.
Okay.
So you basically have enough for, like, it seems like you have enough juice to support two-ish systems. And some of the systems have been dealt a ton of damage. So, like, long-range comms, you think you need most likely, unless you exit the ship yourself and do physical repairs, you're going to need docking repair. But navigation and life support, those you should be able to fix from within the ship with the resources you have.
Okay, so Quentin is going to work on life support, and I will work on the other.
On navigation?
Yeah, navigation.
All right. Quentin, why don't you give me a computer check as well, if that's what you're working on.
Yes, I'm going to work on the life support to make sure that, you know, they don't die, because that seems like a good plan.
Yeah, roughly I suppose both you and Bob can't survive in a vacuum for quite some time.
Yeah, 40% of the crew would be fine. It's just that the other 60% do the heavy lifting. So,
I mean, the crew is
six people, so I'm really curious how you got to 40-60, but that's okay.
We could cocoon the crew.
We could. What if we just froze them?
It's an option, but let's see if we can get this other stuff working first.
How do you feel about a nat 20 for a total of 29? Dang.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Pretty sure Quentin might have an idea on how to fix the life support.
Yep. You have an idea, and you can basically, you get a whole map of the life support systems. You see where everything's wrong in the system, and then you can direct somebody else to make the repairs at critical junctures just by telling them what to do. It's just like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. This is how it needs to be fixed.
If only there was someone small enough to fit into those tight spaces.
I think I'm the smallest member of the crew.
Oh, no, you're not.
No.
Oh, that's right.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
He's got a big personality, so he doesn't seem small.
Right. I keep forgetting.
BNSS stuff is busted up.
Yeah, it's really bad, Skridic. We're trying to get life support back online now. I think Quentin has a solution, if you don't mind crawling around on the insides and doing some repairs.
Well, it's better than, asphyxiating to death.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, so, yeah, tell me where you need me.
In the main corridor, three panels down, in the Barris tube to the left.
Excellent. So after a little bit, So first of all, short range comms work. There's not like interference, although when you pull out your data pads, if someone bothers to check, you do detect elevated levels of radiation in the bridge. Seems like Gizmer was not lying about the disruption to the power core being radioactive, but it's low level radiation. I'm sure it's fine. Anyway, with
Quentin's it won't kill us for hours yet.
With Quentin's excellent guidance, you can basically take 10 on the engineering checks required, Skridic, and go about and fix them. Because he actually does seem to know what he's talking about as he gives you the sort of like list of things that need to be done.
That's the red and white kind of know what I'm doing. Wire. So together, I'm sure we can figure it out.
You're trained in engineering, right? Like you have ranks in it.
Yeah, I got 3 ranks.
Yeah, totally good enough. Points. If you were untrained, it might have been an issue, but with a few ranks and Quentin's nat 20 there, yeah, you're all set. Cool. So let's go to the cargo bay with Vangi roasting them, sometimes having conversations with them, sometimes like, you know, pushing them away, but mostly occupying one of the main entrance exits and using the flamethrower when Hecubino shows up.
Or not, hey, Vangi.
It was Hecubino that you're going to the cargo bay, right?
Yep.
Cool. Hey, Hecubino.
How's it looking?
These things are really dumb. So, you know, got that going for us.
Okay. You think you have things under control here?
To, like, kicks at another one that's probably trying to, you know, do something like get her weapon. I'd say so.
Okay.
Hey, you,
come with
you
me
called
and
us
check
dumb.
The guns?
I motioned to censure. Then you light it on fire.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, we'll go check the weapons room.
All right. So you back away from the cargo bay and towards the weapons room. In the weapons room, there are 4 Vexchit in the in each of both of the flak thrower seats that are off on the 2 sides of the ship. And then there's one at the 4 in the torpedo launcher seat. And one is sitting in the central orb, that kind of like hollow orb that controls the turret-mounted coil gun, Gremlin is currently making this sound as it repeatedly fires the electromagnetic weapon. Pew, pew, pew!
Nice.
Wait, but shouldn't we be destroying the weapon systems, not using them? Says another. No, you see, the weapons are like big space hammers that let us destroy other things. In space. Oh. Does that mean we should stop tearing apart the rest of the ship? You know, so we could use it to do more damage to other things? In fact, doesn't that call into question the whole smashing directive? Should we be building things in order to break more and bigger things? No! Don't overthink it! Pew, pew, pew!
I'm guessing if they're like on the seats and firing the weapons, they've put down their hammers.
That's correct.
Okay. I will telekinetically pick one up and smash the pew 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 guy with it. as a means of making an entrance.
Yep. He is crushed. They do not seem to have many hit points for what it's worth. Single digit. After a moment, the other 3 all turn to you. No. All right, you're in charge. What do we shoot now, sir?
Oh. Well, there's a turn. I know. I actually need your destructive abilities. There's a giant pile of garbage in the cargo hold. I need you to break that down into its component parts.
I heard that's what they were making the great working.
Nope, that thing's on top of the great working.
Oh, let's go break it.
We need to remove that to see it.
Lead the way, sir. You're very large to be our boss, but that's okay.
No, that's pretty much the only time I have ever gotten that. Come on. And I'll just leave Vangi to check on the weapons.
You got them. I can start working on trying to get this operational up in here.
Yep.
So as you, by the way, are leaving the cargo bay, there's one last gremlin that tries to make a deal with you, Vangi. It's like, all right, so. Let me leave, and I promise I won't cause any trouble. And then it immediately tries to use its entropic grasp on your gun.
Back off the gun! And she just, like, punches it in the face.
I'm sorry, I can't help myself. It's a compulsion.
Due to illness,
I feel
the part of the
bad,
Vex
but...
played by John Mulaney.
You do seem like an absolute nuisance.
All right. So, let's start from scratch. I promise I will
Bam!
Not...
Oh, that's good.
All right. Let's go to Amu in the medical bay. Amu, as you all approach the med bay, you can see through the large window that there are two Vex ships inside. And both of them are atop the main surgical bed. And one is lying down with its head slightly propped up by a pillow while it cradles its hammer in its arms, its many arms, while the other one sits atop the surgical tray attachment to the bed, its legs dangling while it scribbles something in a notepad. The one that is writing has found tiny little reading glasses and propped them up at the end of its syncilium, right below its bottom set of eyes. And it's wearing a one of the extra spare white doctor's coats that is wildly too large for it. The one lying down speaks. Doc, I've been having these terrible nightmares where these magnificent starships and buildings are being built, and all I have is a tiny hammer. Yes, in your dreams, you are powerless to smash things. You see mighty technological marvels being constructed, yet you do not have the capacity to destroy them. You are impotent. But remember, sometimes a hammer is just a hammer. My prescription, more smashing, beginning immediately. And then they go, they immediately leap up and start smashing your meticulously organized vials and medicines.
Oh, that may not be the best of mixtures. We'll rush in there. Hey, those are delicate, and we don't need them mixed.
Delicate, yes. Smashes one to the ground. It makes them all the easier to smash, does it not? Oh, I see what you mean about the mixture. I'm fairly certain this is toxic. And it just falls over dead.
We will reach out and try to use the capture pole to pull the other one away from all that.
Doc! No! I felt like we were having a breakthrough. Get
we
it?
Were
because
breaking.
We break things.
You want to break things. That is your goal, correct?
It is more of a purpose, I suppose. Yes.
Would you like to break things on a larger scale?
I don't know. Yes?
Okay.
Yes. Let's go with yes.
Okay.
Then I can show those magnificent starships and buildings that I can break them.
Yes. We may have a position for you. We could use a team breaker.
All right. Lead the way. New right. best friend.
Hop on.
Are you also a doctor?
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, let me tell you about my dreams.
Go ahead.
Its dreams are remarkably mundane.
That tracks.
All
we have
right.
a shoulder gremlin.
So I think you guys have cleared basically every room of the ship. Real quick, I will note for whenever somebody gets there, Bob's quarters have been thoroughly ransacked for tools, and his clothing is totally scattered about. It looks, again, like someone took some scissors to his clothing and made little mini clothes out of them. Hecubino's room is somehow untouched, as previously mentioned. Vanky's room is a complete mess with everything pulled apart, except for her set of weights, which was evidently too heavy for them to lift.
Don't even lift, bro.
So you have captured, I think, a pair of Vexchits that Amu has, the Gizmer that Amu also mm-hmm. has, and then there's a crew of three more Vexchits that are currently breaking down the Great Working and loving it. Though they do comment on how, you know, smooth the climbing is.
Sure. While I supervise them breaking down the Great Work, I am going to pull out a data pad and double check the rules for drifters. Because I want to know if we can basically put these guys into like torpedo pods and shoot them out of their cars.
Oh, absolutely. You for sure could do that.
Okay. Then
I say that was what the Formian team was doing.
Yep. There you go. I have a joint project for Amu and Bob.
Oh boy. How to make this safe for gremlins.
Now you just need to figure out how to keep them busy the rest of the time.
Yeah.
That's what a holodeck is for.
The Once you start getting into the ethics of it, it's a real problem. I think the easiest thing would be to put them in some sort of stasis until we need them.
Yep. I do like Gamu's suggestion of the hack, but that can be a form of stasis. So
yeah.
You guys have purged the ship of the gremlin infestation, except those that you have chosen to keep around. They don't really answer any of your questions. They don't seem to know much except that they were portaled here somehow and then have been following their species-wide mandate to break things. They're pretty clever when it comes to specifically knowing how to break things. In all other regards, they're not that clever. Bob, you are able to, with some help from the rest of the crew, get navigation back on, get life support back on. It's still a little herky-jerky. You've discovered that Glitch did leave several annoying logic bombs in the code, literally, that would explode. So you have to, but you're able to disarm them by reprogramming that piece. And eventually you're able to get Grace's comms back online, though the infosphere's gone and long-range comms are gone as well. And main power and the drift drive are also off.
But we still have thrusters, right?
You've got thrusters.
Okay.
Does navigation being back allow us to figure out where we are?
It does.
Yeah, so we need to find out where we are and where we can limp to get repairs made.
So you are outside of Akaton. You're between Akaton and the Diaspora, basically. Probably closer to the Diaspora, which is in the Pact World's lingo. Think of it as the asteroid belt.
Yeah. What about Idari? Has that got anything?
Let's take a look.
Because I'm going to guess we're closer to the Diaspora than we are to Akaton.
Oh, I mean, actually, yeah. Good point.
Actually,
I wasn't even. Yeah, you're well beyond Akaton. So you're in close to Idari's orbit, but Idari isn't nearby. Unfortunately.
What about Verses?
Well beyond Verses too.
This is not good.
You're somewhere in that dead space that Idari occupies, but not. Kind of between Idari and the Diaspora.
Are there any bases or mining colonies that are set up on the Diaspora?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Diaspora has tons of mining colonies. And, the thing that the Diaspora is most famous for would be pirates, who would probably steal your ship. They'd be like, oh, a helpless ship? Sweet. Easy money.
How are they going to steal it, though? It doesn't work.
Well, they'd just take its thrusters over to their... They'd board it, then they'd kill you. Then they'd, either scrap it or take it to their base.
Yeah, so I'm going to get a hold of Hecubino, find out where he is, and apprise him of the situation and where we're at, and pull up a map of the system. I don't think we can get to Absalon Station.
No, I wouldn't think so.
And could we make it back to Akaton?
You might be, so you're on thrusters, right? So it's just a matter of how much fuel you have. Cause, unfortunately, that's a hard limit. You can do some clever things to try to save fuel and get some distance, but you're also on a timer, right? You don't know how much time you have.
Yeah. Because we've got that next leg of the race starting and we have to make it to our meeting with what's her name?
Rain.
With Rain. So
Can we send some kind of,
long range
communications?
Yeah. We don't have long range communications, unfortunately.
You have short range comms, like short wave, kind of radio comms that could communicate with something in the Diaspora or the Idari kind of range that you have, but not something that could communicate with stuff past Octurn.
Do we have the parts to repair the long range comms?
Yeah, if we were to be able to find some place to do it, would we be even able to replace or repair?
Well, I mean, with credits, you can always buy stuff, right? Most places that have like a ship dock, like if it's not just like a, you know, if many ships dock there, they will have replacement parts for most of the things that you guys need. The biggest issue is that the Gizmer did significant damage to the power core, and then whatever Vex shits could break, they did. Now, some of that stuff you can repair. Others are like, you know, if you break a satellite dish into 1,000 pieces, you can't fix it. It's broken. So
I'll get everyone together at the bridge, you know, once they're done with whatever last task that we're doing.
Sounds good. The whole team gathers up.
Okay. All right. So according to Bob, we are floating. We're too far from Akaton to contact them. Long range comms are out. We need to dock somewhere before we can do major repairs. So do any of you know of any place out here to do it? Any of you have any contacts here?
Nope.
I will take that as a no.
So do people start going through their contacts? You can't, you don't have an InfoSphere connection, but you can pull up your apps that, and they're just like, try and connect, connection failed. You can browse this, but not make any changes, because then we'd have to sync it with the non-existent InfoSphere cloud.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to check. What kind of check is that?
No, it's no check. I mean, like, it's however much checking, scrolling a phone is.
Okay. I clearly know a guy.
So as you guys scroll through your contacts, both Hecubino and Vangi have a trio of contacts.
Yeah. I was just going to ask about those guys. Where are they based out of?
Well, you didn't catch where in the diaspora they're based out of, but they are dwarves, so they might be based out of one of the floating star citadels, such as Heyerhod, which is a famous dwarven mining colony in the diaspora.
Oh, man. When they said, if we ever wound up in the diaspora, we should look them up, I just immediately assumed that would never happen.
Oh, you have? Really? Yeah, you have somebody then?
Yeah, I mean, we met some random dwarves we did a solid for right before we met all you guys.
Their names, according to your app where you put this in, where they, because they traded contact information with you, are Brenson, Sirius, and Duthane.
Well, if you can raise them, we can limp there and hope that they can help us out.
Worth a shot.
Yeah, can we? Do we have a way of communicating with them?
Oh, yeah, you've got short-range comms.
I'll open a hailing frequency.
And what do you put on that frequency?
Hail. Hail.
Well, you might be able to actually, because you have their little... if you turn off life support, okay, bear with me for a moment. You turn off life support, you turn on your InfoSphere connection, they could send their InfoSphere messages directly to Brenson, Sirius, and Duthane. Now, you still don't have long-range comms, but the diaspora isn't like a major packed world. Like, they don't have the full InfoSphere anyway. But you could still use, like, basically person-to-person contacts.
Okay. Who pitches that idea?
I can pitch that idea and say, as long as they can get back with us within an hour or so, we could turn off life support.
Okay. Helmets on, everyone.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Except for Quentin and Bob, who can just survive in a vacuum.
I just smile and nod politely.
You just run over and get, and like, seal up.
We will take care of the rest of the beans.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, they should be fine for an hour.
Yeah. There's still some oxygen just floating about. Plus, it seems like, Squeebo doesn't need to breathe.
Quentin. Oh, okay.
Now, his acidic fumes probably need to be vented, but that's different from breathing.
I mean, we can always flip back and forth as needed until we hear back from them, too. So I don't think it's too big of a deal. So I turn off the life support system and open up the InfoSphere and say, turn back to the co-captains and say, okay, if you've got your contacts, I would reach out to them now.
Okay. And what do you say when you reach out?
We even have a scroll of sending.
It's
also,
okay. Skridik knows the ritual.
I will re-share the images of Brenton, Sirius, and Duthane. That's what they look like.
Oh, triplets.
Oh, yeah, because they all basically look identical.
Yep, they just have different colored hair.
That's funny.
It's not like a green miners. One, a red one, and a blue one. One can shoot, one has a bow, and one can run real fast.
Okay, I'll send them that.
You want to read it for our listening audience?
Yeah. Hey, boyos, Turnstile crew here. We're stuck without a drive out in the diaspora. Can you guys help us out? Bangi and Hecubino. And, you know, I'll include coordinates.
And they will respond back with a video message. Oh, we're so happy to see you. We only saw our grandchildren out there in Absalon Station because of you. Of course, we'll come by and give you a tow. We'll take you to Hayrhod. And from there, we'll help you on your way.
Was that a recorded message or is it like a direct communication?
Direct com, like okay. Live response was sent 2 seconds ago.
Okay. Hey, thanks, guys. Also, I think we might have accidentally shot down a escape pod, so you might want to bring some medical supplies for them too.
Oh, that escape pod. No, that was a pilot program. It was meant to be part of a intergalactic peace and mercy unit that helped all abandoned starships as a part of a automated robotic system. No casualties, but I guarantee you that project will never go anywhere now that the pilot's been destroyed.
Mm. Freaking gremlins.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
And with that, they log out. And you, as you guys are making some, you know, repairs and cleaning up the squeaky clean, that is where we will leave Team Lizard Brain for this week.
Oh boy. Thank you everybody for checking us out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the kind words that you send to us. If you would pass the word, I see all the time on Twitter, people asking, hey, I want to listen to a RPG podcast. What's out there? What do you guys recommend? And I'm so happy to see so many of you recommend Critical Hit. But let's get some more of you out there recommending Critical Hit out there on your social medias. Let's drive more people to the show and more people to listening, and that will of course allow us to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. So thank you so much for everybody for doing that. And as a kind reward, hold out your dice, hold them up in the air, and now we shall bless them so the next time you roll them, you have critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment LLC.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.